Today's daf is Yuma Daf Mem Gimel, and we are 16 lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis Amar Ula. Today's daf is being learned as a Schutz Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sar Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Mordechai Tzvi Ben Fradel, Rafal Yaakov Ben Rachel Chava, David Ben Shoshana, Rafal Yitzchak, Isaac Ben Rachama, Miriam Basara Dina, Menachem Mendel Ben Yehudis Chaya, Avram Menachem Ben Leah Edel, and Yaakov Ben Gittel. Today's daf is being learned as a schus via Cheskel Shraga Ben Miral, and today's daf is being learned to Ilu Nishmas Avram Ben Yibodel Chayim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chayim. So yesterday's daf dealt very much with the laws of Para Aduma. Today's daf is going to double down and really get into some of the nuances, some of the subtleties in the psukim that describe the process of Parah Aduma. So today's daf is certainly a digression from the sugyas of Masechtas Yuma. It discusses a very abstract area of the Torah and of Chazal, but at the same time, it's foundational because the concept of Parah Aduma is something that comes up a lot in Shas, and it's something that most people never have the opportunity to sit down and properly learn. But today's daf is a good Yisoidis de Gedaf in terms of getting a little bit of a better appreciation for the basics, just the foundation as far as understanding the whole process of Parah Aduma a little bit better. So just to chazer over the psukim in the beginning of Parashas Chukas, and then the Gemara is going to do a deep dive in terms of understanding them a little bit better. So the story of Parah Aduma is mentioned in the beginning of Parashas Chukas. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon lemer, Zois Chukas HaTorah. Parah Aduma is a mitzvah that we don't properly understand. It's a chayk. Not just that, it goes down as Zois Chukas HaTorah. It's the chayk with the hey hayidia. Dabra el b'nei Yisrael ve'yikhu elecha Parah Aduma. So Hashem told Moshe, tell the B'nai Yisrael that they should take for you a Parah Aduma. Temima asha'im ba'mum asha'loi ola le'al. So you should take a red Parah, make sure it has no mum. It has to be a Parah that never did any work. U'nesaten oysa el Elazar ha'kayna. Once you take that Parah, you should hand it over to Elazar. Elazar was the son of Aharon. At that time, he was the Skan Kohen Gadol. And Rashi brings what the Gemara is going to say in today's daf, Mitzvasa B'Skan. You see that the Parah Aduma that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to bring was Mitzvasa B'Skan. The Avodah was done by the Skan Kohen Gadol. And he was told to take the Parah, bring it outside of the Machna, and shecht it. Meaning, don't shecht it in the Beis HaMikdash like you do all Karbanos. This Shechita was meant to be Michutz LaMachna. And then Elazar should take his finger, stick it into the blood, which assumes there was a Kabbalah then with the dam, and he should do seven hazois. So again, hazois weren't done in the Beis HaMikdash. This is all being done Michutz LaMachna. However, it was done in the direction. It was facing the Oil Moed. How many hazois? Seven. And then Elazar was told that he should take the Parah, all of it, and he should burn it. And then the Kohen was told that while this Parah was being burned, you should take a cedar wood, you should throw it into the fire, and you should burn it all together. So the first part of the Parah Aduma was creating the ashes of the Parah Aduma. The way the ashes were created was not by simply taking a red Parah and burning it. That would have been easy. But there was a whole process that had to precede it. There was a Shechita, there was a Kabbalah, there was a Zrika. Then it was all taken and burnt. But while it was burnt, you also had to have Eitz Erez, you had to have Ezoiv, and you had to have Shni Toilas. But once it was burnt, you physically have the ashes. Says the Pasuk, I'm skipping a little bit. Va'asav ish tar es efer apar. Somebody should come and he should gather the ashes. V'iniach michutz l'nachna b'makam tar. And he should find a makam tar to keep it. V'hoysa. And these ashes will be la'das b'nei Yisrael, l'mishmeres, l'mei nida chatasi. And the Torah invokes the word chatas, even though chatas is a word you find in karbanos. And the Parah Aduma was not a carbon, but at the same time, chatas kari rachmana. And that's why you find a lot of halachos of kachim that apply to the Parah Aduma, despite the fact that it's not a carbon, because the Torah used that word, chatasi. Then the pasuk says, part two. So part two is, you have the ashes, they've been gathered, that michutz l'machane, what do you do with them? So the Torah goes on to say that if somebody becomes tomei tomas meis, he came in contact with a meis, even if he was simply in an oil, hameis, so yisa Torah adam ki yamus ba'oil, kalaba al oil, v'chala asher ba'oil, yitma shivas yamun. So someone that comes in contact with a meis is going to be tomei for 7 days. But as part of his Torah process, he needs that on the third of the 7 days, and on the seventh of the 7 days, he should have these ashes sprinkled onto him. Now, it wasn't so simple. Take the ashes and throw it on the person. The ashes had to be put into a keli. Mayim chayim had to be put into a keli. Somebody had to come and mix it all together. Valokhu latame me'afar srevas achatos v'nosan olav mayim chayim el keli. And the valokach ezoiv v'tovel b'mayim ishtar v'hizo. And he started spritzing it. So you have the part of the parsha of the Parah Aduma, which involves creating the ashes. And then you have the part where once you have the ashes, so what do you do with them? What's the implementation? You put it into a keli, you mix it with water, somebody comes with grass, sticks it into the water, and he uses that to now sprinkle from the ashes and the water that's all nisarev together on this person that is tamei. That is the short version as it relates to just basic understanding of the Parah Aduma. The Gemara is going to go into some of the details, and Be'ezus Hashem, at the end of the daf, we'll try to take out a few clear yesoidis that maybe we can carry with us as we go through Daf Yomi. But just to pick up with the segue from yesterday's daf, the Gemara mentioned the Machlokes Amayram, Rav Shmuel, other Amayram as well, regarding the Shechita of the Parah Aduma. Is it Ksheira Bizar or is it Psula Bizar? Ordinarily, Shechita is Ksheira Bizar, because Shechita lav Avoideh. But there's a thought that maybe Parah Aduma is different, because Parah Aduma is not really Avoideh anyhow. Meaning, when you're talking about Avoideh, it is as far to say, Shechita lav Avoideh. Why should you need a kohen to do the shechita? But being that the whole mice of the Parah Aduma was anyways not avoida, and still the Torah said kohen, so it's mistaber. If the Torah said kohen, it's midi dehavi amaris negon. Just like maris negon requires a kohen, nesias kapayim requires a kohen, you give your manis to kuna to a kohen, kohen gets the first aliyah, the kidashta. So there's a concept of kuhuna, and if that's why we need a kohen by Parah Aduma, there's really no svara to differentiate between the shechita and between the kabbalah and the zrika. Bottom line is, machloek is Rav and Shmuel. Rav shita is that even though shechita is ksheira bizar, but shechitas para is psula bizar, Shmuel shita is that shechitas para is ksheira bizar. Amar Ula said, kala parasha kula, the entire parasha of Parah Aduma, meaning all the psukim in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, mashma moitzi miyad mashma, umashma mamela. So that first line is a little bit of a riddle. So Ula said that if you go through the psukim, there are some psukim that are mashma moitzi miyad mashma, and there are some psukim that are mashma mamela. Meaning, as the Gemara is about to prove in great detail, the psukim that deal with the Parah Aduma seem to stipulate who had to be involved, who was not allowed to be involved. And the narrative, the halacha changes sometimes from pasuk to pasuk, and sometimes it doesn't change from pasuk to pasuk. So as it relates to these psukim, kala parasha kula, mashma moitzi miyad mashma, we're going to encounter psukim where the pasuk is going to say that this is the way it should be done, and it's going to be moitzi from what the previous pasuk had said, as if to say, just lamashal. One pasuk will say you need a kohen, and the next pasuk is going to say you don't need a kohen. It's one parasha. You would think if you need a kai, you need a kai. If you don't need a kai, you don't need a kai. But there is going to be psukim in this parasha, as we're going to see, where mashma moitzi miyad mashma, where pasuk beis is going to be moitzi from pasuk aleph. Even though pasuk aleph suggested one way, pasuk beis is going to say faker. However, there are other psukim that are mashma memela, where whatever it says by pasuk aleph is going to be true for pasuk beis as well. And Ula is going to give us a whole bunch of examples that's going to take us until daf mem gimel amid beis. Number one, it says right in the beginning of the parasha that Moshe Rabbeinu was told the yikhu elecha Parah Aduma. Okay, now what? Unesata Moshe Elazar HaKoyin, you should take the Parah Aduma and you should give it to Elazar HaKoyin. Zok the Gemara, oiso le'Elazar v'leil le'dayris le'Elazar. Even though the Parah Aduma that was born in the Midbar had to be given to Elazar, Elazar was the Skan Kohen Gadol. So it feels a little bit like every single Parah Aduma was done by the Skan Kohen Gadol. Zok the Gemara, no. Mitzvah of the Skan, that was for that Parah Aduma. But only oiso what a mapike was le'elazar. However, as it relates to all the other paros, v'loy le'dayros le'elazar. Okay, so if all the other paros did not have to be done by Elazar, who had to do them? So ikadam yisom tzadu dayros kohen gadol had to be done by the kohen gadol. Right, the whole idea that a skan is doing it is a very big kiddush. So this one par aduma was done by the skan, but for future generations it'd be done by the kohen gadol. Ikadam yisom say l'dayros b'kohen hadid. L'dayros it could be b'kohen hadid. Zok the gemara bishleim the man dam l'dayros b'kohen hadid shap bishleim the man dam that says l'dayros it could be done by the kohen hadid shapper. Meaning we understand the basis for it. If only this one had to be done by the skan kohen gadol, future ones probably could be done by any kohen. Mechatesi a kohen gadol. What's the remez in the pasuk of kohen gadol? Skan kohen gadol is a chiddush. Okay, so the chiddush is only true for the minbar. As it relates to future paros, probably anyone could do it. Elamandam l'deris b'kohen gadol. The kohen gadol that says l'deris was done by the kohen gadol. Minale, probably have to have a source for it. Where do you see? Oh, this one should be done by a lazar, but the next one should be by the kohen gadol. Who said that par adum has anything to do with kohen gadol? Usually kohen gadol doesn't have to do the avodah. The only time the kohen gadol has to do the avodah is on Yom Kippur. Other than that, you don't find a requirement of kohen gadol. Kohen gadol could do whatever he wants, but he doesn't have to. So why would you think, if the Torah says this one should be by us, oh, probably the other one's by a kohen gadol? Mechatesi. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you mechatesi. Gomar chuka chuka miyoyim ha-kippur. Because like we saw in yesterday's daf, it says chuka by the par adum. It says chuka by Yom Kippur. So, just like Yom Kippur, the Avodah had to be done dafka by the Kohen Gadol, so too, the Avodah of the Par Aduma would have to be done by the Kohen Gadol as well. Regardless, the first of the several drushes that the Gemara is going to present in today's daf is, it says, Unesatem Oysa El Elazar HaKohen Chiddush, that the Par Aduma was done by the Skan Kohen Gadol. And just to bring out the Chiddush a little bit, we know the Skan didn't really have any position. Reb Chanina Skan HaKehanim famously said in the beginning of our perek that the whole job of the Skan Kohen Gadol was to be there, stand to the right side of the Kohen Gadol. In case something happened to the Kohen Gadol, he steps right into his shoes and he does everything that needs to be done. But up until that point, he really didn't do anything. So here you have a mitzvah that's being done by the Skan Kohen Gadol, but it was a rasha. It was only in the midbar. It was that very, very first par aduma that was done by the Skan Kohen Gadol. The future paris would not be done by the Skan Kohen Gadol. Who did it? So the Gemara says it was a debate amongst the Chachamim. Ikedam Risam said, L'doiros the Kohen Hedyet. Ikedam Risam said, L'doiros the Kohen Gadol. Why would you think the Kohen Gadol? This is just another similarity between Para Aduma and Yom Kippur, because just like the Avodah and Yom Kippur had to be done by the Kohen Gadol, so therefore there's an idea that maybe the Para Aduma should have to be done by the Kohen Gadol as well. The Pasuk continues and says, V'hoitzi Oysa. So when the satam oysa lazar akoin, you should take the par and give it to a lazar. Next words, vahoitzi oysa michutz la'machane. A lazar should take the parah outside of the machane. The avodah wasn't going to be done at the base of Hamikdash, it was going to be done outside the machane. Zok the Gemara, again it says oysa. Oysa is a miut when a mapike shlo yoitzi acherasim. It's coming to teach us that the koin that was taking the parah aduma outside could only take one para, couldn't take another para. Because tonight it's really a mishnah. If the para didn't want to leave, you can't take another animal. So sometimes if a para doesn't want to move, so apparently one of the tricks that farmers use is they'll take another animal and try to get one animal to get the other animal to dance with it. So if the para didn't want to leave, there's a mitzvah to take the para out. What if it didn't want to go? So the farmer, or the kohen in this case, says, you know, let me take another para. There's another para. It's like this. It's going to come along. So the law says, you can't do it. You can't take a shchayra. You can't even take a black one, meaning a para that's not a para aduma. Because people are going to think that maybe the para shchayra was the one that was brought as the para aduma. You can't even take another red one. People might think you brought two. So the Mishnah says you couldn't take another one. Rabbi Yossi said, meaning, I agree with the halacha, but I don't agree with your reasoning. Your reasoning is that there's a svara, right? You can't take a black one because people are going to think you brought the black. You can't take another red one, people are going to think you brought two. It's nothing to do with svaras. It's this drasha. V'hoitzi oisa el michutz l'machane. And we learn from there, oisa levada. The bottom line is that what's v'hoitzi oisa teaching us, shaloi yoitzi acheres imo, which is shitas Rabbi Yossi in this Mishnah that we just brought in Masechtis. That we just brought him a sechtes par. Zok the Gemara, the Tanakama, Haksiv Oisa, the Tanakama, who learns it, Misvara, Why is he learning misvara, something that we have a pasuk for, something that says, oisa, zokti gemara, ma tanakam? You want to know who the tanakam is? Reb Shimon here. It's Reb Shimon, the Darish time in the Gur. Reb Shimon Shita throughout Shas is that he tried understanding drashas. He tried understanding the reason behind mitzvahs. Now, it's a very nice, noble thing to always try to understand the reasoning behind mitzvahs. The Rambam talks about it, and then of Hilchas Mila and Hilchas Tamura. The Rambam wrote a Sefer Meir Nevuchim that really was a Derish U'Makayim, where he delved into understanding time and mitzvahs. Rav Shimon's Chiddush is that if you understand the time of a mitzvah, you can actually start qualifying the mitzvah based on its time. Meaning, if you understand the time of a mitzvah, it can have impact in halacha. The Chacham who argued with Rav Shimon said, yeah, you can understand the time of a mitzvah. It's very nice. You want to be Derish time of the Krua, but to do it to the level where you're going to start changing halacha is based on your understanding of what the mitzvah is, that's not something you're allowed to do. Bottom line is, everybody holds v'hoitzei yoisa means shelo yoitzei acheres ima. What then is the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi? What are these two shittas in the Mishnah? The Tanakam said it misvara. Rabbi Yossi said it based on a pasuk. Now, Gemina is, are we Dairish time in the Krua? We're not Dairish time in the Krua. Rabbi Yossi is not Dairish time in the Krua. He says the Makar is a pasuk, and that's all it is. It's a pasuk, that's a pasuk. Rabbi Shimon said it's true the Makar is a pasuk, but I'm going to be Dairish time in the Krua. I'm going to understand it. So the Gemara says that if there's a machlokes Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, whether you can be Dorish time of the Krua or not, there must be a nafkamina. Because otherwise, what are we arguing about? So my benayu, what is the nafkamina? It can benayu the apik chamor bahadon. Nafkamina would be, could you take a chamor out together with the par? You're trying to get the par out, the par doesn't want to leave. So you say, let's take another animal with it. Which animal should we take? Let's take a chamor. If the reason is, because it says vahutzi oisa sounds like you can't take any other animal, not even a chamor. If it's based on all the svaras that Rav Shimon said, it's based on people are going to think you brought the black para, people are going to think you brought two paras. So those are svaras that relate to a para. No one's going to think you brought a chamar. I mean, it's obvious. No one's going to have such a hamamina. So then to take a chamar would be okay. Bottom line is, the second of the many drashas that the Gemara is going to present is vahoytzi oisa. The word oisa is a miyut. It's coming to be mamayit something. And what does it teach us? Shelo yoytzi acheresim. When the parah was taken out, michutz l'machane, it was a ceremony with a lot of drama, incidentally, and it had to be one parah. There couldn't be another parah. What's the svara behind it? Rav Shimon, who was Dairish time in the Krua, gave a svara, and the Gemara said it could be, it would be a nafgamina, whether you could take a chamor. But regardless, for sure one parah, as it relates to some other animal, that seems to be the machloikis Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yosi in the Mishnah of Masechtas Parah. So moving along. Unesatem oisa el alazar akoyin, vahoitzi oisa michutz lamachane, vishachat oisa lofan. So we darshan do nesatem oisa el alazar akoyin, oisa biskan, but the future didn't have to be with the skan. Either koyin gadol or maybe even a koyin headed. Vahoitzi oisa michutz lamachane, you take out one. But the Torah says the word oisa a third time. It says vishachat oisa lefanav. So what does that mean? V'shachat oisa shlo yishchet acher esima. That when you shechted the parah, you couldn't shecht another parah. So you can't take a sack in arucha, for example. You can't take a very long knife and with one swoop shecht two animals. When you shecht the parah aduma, it has to be v'shachat oisa. This is the only one that you're able to shecht. So that's the third drasha, and this concludes the oisa portion of the daf. So when esatem oisa el alazar akoyin, v'hoitzi oisa el michutz lamachana, v'shachat oisa. Lefanav, we have three drashas from Chazal. The next word that the Gemara darshins is the next word in the Torah, lefanav. It says, v'shachat oisa lefanav. What does that mean? So the truth is, we saw this in yesterday's daf, and the Gemara is going to revisit now. L'rav, according to Rav, what it means is, shalei asiach taitam imenu. This pasuk is coming to say that the Kohen, in this case Elazar, had to make sure that he had no hesach hadas from what he was doing while he did the shechita. The Shmuel, according to Shmuel, sheyehi zor shoychei ve'lozer raya. What the pasuk is coming to say is, v'shachat that a zor could do the shechita, lefanav, it just has to be lefanav, it has to be in the presence of a lozer. But a lozer himself is not the one that did the shechita. So again, it was a machlekes Rav and Shmuel, where the shechita is par aduma, is ksheir bazar or psula bazar. Rav shechita was, it's psula bazar. Shmuel shechita was, it's ksheir bazar. The Gemara said, how does Shmuel know it's ksheir bazar? Because even though the Torah says v'shachat and mentions a lozer, but it's mashma Shmuel said v'shachat oisa lefanav. Someone else should do the shechita lefanav in front of him. So who's that someone else? Throughout The Torah shechitas ksher bezar probably is zar. It just has to be lefanav. It has to be in front of him. So that's Shmuel's drasha of lefanav. Ravu holds that shechitas paras psula bezar. So what does he do with the word lefanav? The shachat already means alaza. He's doing the shechita. So if he's doing the shechita, what does lefanav mean? It means that he shouldn't be masiach das. The Gemara said there's another pasuk that says he can't be masiach das. The Gemara gave reasons why you need more than one pasuk. But either way, that's what lefanav means. It's the machloikis Rav and Shmuel. The lokach alaza. Then the pasuk says, very next pasuk dab. That a Lazar HaKoyen should take midama from the dam, suggesting that there was already a Kabbalah, be'etzpoy with his finger, v'hiza el noichach pnei el noyed midama shevapon, and he should make seven hazois in the direction of the oyo noyed. Zok de Gemara, why did the Torah have to say v'lokach el Lazar HaKoyen? Why do we have to mention a Lazar again? The first pasuk already said unesatem oiso el Lazar HaKoyen. So why do we have to chazer over again a Lazar? So the Gemara says Gishmak. Lishmuel, according to Shmuel, that holds that when it said Veshachat Oysa Lefanov, Shchitas Kshere Bazar. So once the Shchita doesn't have to be done by Elazar, so I would have thought that maybe the Kabbalah and the Zrika also doesn't have to be done by Elazar. So Ladure Le Elazar, to say that no, this part does have to be done by Elazar, the Torah has it over Elazar. Le Rav. What about according to Rav? Rav said Shchitas Paris Psula Bazar. That Elazar had to do the Shchita. So if Elazar had to do the Shchita, why would you think he didn't have to do the Kabbalah and the Zrika? So why did Torah say Elazar again? Havi Miyat Achamiyat, Vei Miyat Achamiyat, Elo Le Rabbi Istah. It's a miyat achamiyat. This is one of the most counterintuitive principles that you find in Chazal. And that is that sometimes, if the Torah says it has to be done by a skan, and then the Torah says again it has to be done by a skan, oh, the second time it's coming to tell me that really doesn't have to be done by a skan. Because it's a miyat achamiyat. The first time it said Elazar is memayat kohen hedid. The second time it says Elazar again it's memayat kohen hedid. It suggests it has to be the skan. It said it twice as the rabbis that even a kohen hedid would be able to do it. So just to make a little sikum on this portion of it, so it comes out really that there's a machlekes Rav and Shmuel both ways in terms of the shechita, the Kabbalah and the Zrika of the Parah Aduma that was brought in the Midbar. Again, just to emphasize, we're talking primarily about the Parah Aduma that was brought in the Midbar because it was only that Parah that required Skan. That was the first Gemara. Oysa B'Skan, but Ladarius didn't have to be done with the Skan. So how does it play out? According to Rav, Shchitas Zar is Psula B'Zar. Shchitas Parah is Psula B'Zar. It had to be done Dafka by Elazar. The Kabbalah and the Zrika was able to be done even by Kohen Hedid. Because the Torah says twice Elazar, miyat achamiyat is the rabbis, that even a kohen had to do it. So the shechita had to be done by the skan. The zrika was able to be done even by kohen had. According to Shmuel, shechitas ksheri bizar, even shechitas para. So it was able to be done even by a zar. And when it says Elazar then, regarding the Kabbalah and the zrika, it's not a miyat achamiyat. It's coming to tell me that it had to be done dafka by a skan. The pasuk continues and says, v'lokach Elazar, V'lokach ha-koyin eitz erez ve'ezoiv u'shnei toilas. It says a koyin should come, he should take an eitz erez and ezoiv shnei toilas, and we know what he's supposed to do with it at this point. What he does is v'hishlich el toich seif es ha-par. He's supposed to throw it in together with the par. Again, the Torah says v'lokach ha-koyin. So why the Torah again have to say the word koyin? So the Gemara is toilet in Rav and Shmuel. The Shmuel, according to Shmuel, that feel of a koyin hedyet. According to Shmuel, the pasuk is coming to say that even a koyin hedyet could do it. Meaning, because according to Shmuel, the last thing that was done was done dafka by Elazar. Elazar had to do the Kabbalah, Elazar had to do the Zrika, so you would think this could also needs to be done by Elazar. So that's why the Torah says, V'lokach HaKoyin, it doesn't have to be Elazar. It can even be an ordinary Koyin. L'Rav, according to Rav, only the Shechita had to be done by the Skan. But the Kabbalah and the Zrika was able to be done by a Koyin Hedid. So don't say Koyin, and I will know this also has to be done by a Koyin Hedid. So why the Torah say it? So the Gemara says, you're right. The Torah said it because there's a general chiddush. It's so good. I mean, I would have thought, give it a laugh, go with the par, and you know, being that this is not really a voida that you're doing with the par. It's not the par. You're just throwing some spices into the fire. But this is not really the par. So, loyli by kain. You would have thought maybe you don't need a kain at all. Kamashmon, that's the chiddush that you need a kain. So, there's no machloikis, Rav and Shmuel, regarding what the pasuk means when it says v'lokach ha-koyin. Everybody agrees a koyin hedid can do this. Taking the eitz eres and the ezev and the shnit toilas and throwing it into the fire, for sure can be done by a koyin hedid. The question is why the Torah had to say it. According to Shmuel, it's partial why the Torah had to say it, because the last avodah had to be done by the skan. So we're coming to say this doesn't have to be done by the skan. This can even be done by a koyin hedid. According to Rav, the last avodah also was done by a koyin hedid. The reason we're mentioning it is because you would have thought that this is not chashuv enough. Maybe this avodah is not such a big deal. A zar could do it. So that's the chiddush. Then no, a koyin had to do it. Moving along, the pasuk says, "V'chibes begodov hakoyin, V'rochatz p'sorei v'mayim, v'achar yovei al ha-machane, v'tomei ha-koyen ad ha-orev. So the pasuk says that the koyen that did the avoda had to wash his clothing. Says the Gemara, we learn from here, biki hunai. So again, we're being medayik the word ha-koyen again. It's just another mention of koyen where we seem to get the point that this had to be done by a koyen. So why did Torah have to say the chibes begod of ha-koyen again? So the Gemara is coming to teach us that even though the maisa of the parah aduma was not avoda, and the whole requirement of koyen is midi dehavi amaris negoyim, and maris negoyim itself doesn't require bigdei kahuna, but this does require bigdei kahuna. And that's the chibes begodim akoyen. It's the koyen begodim. Bekihuna, he had away the big day kuna. But Tommy akoyen ad ho erev. Torah says it again. Koyen bekihuna ledairus. It's again coming to say that not only was that first para done dafka by a koyen that was written bekihuna kuna, but even the paras that would be brought in the future, they also had to be brought dafka by a koyen, and dafka koyen that was written bekihuna kuna. Again, it's a chiddush because it's not really avoidus. So why didn't bekihuna kuna? So the Gemara says like this. We had a machlokes right in the beginning of the Gemara. The future paras that were brought, were they brought by the koyen gadol, or were they brought even by a koyen hagid? Now we have a drasha that says that the koyen that brought it, whoever it was, had to be wearing the bigdei kahuna. As if to say, without this pasuk, you would have thought he doesn't have to wear the bigdei kahuna. So honey, chalamandam l'dayrus b'koyen hagid chapter. Bishul koyen demandam that says l'dayrus, it was brought by the koyen hagid. I understand why there would have been a havamina that maybe the koyen hagid could do it even without wearing the bigdei kahuna. Elul mandam l'dayrus b'koyen gadol. But if that loch is it has to be a koyen gadol, there's a havamina. It has to be the koyen gadol. But he doesn't need bigdei kahuna. Hash the koyen gadol be inon bikihuna mibaya. If you need koyen gadol, you need bigdei kahuna. If all you need is a koyen, so you'll tell me it's like maris negoyen. It's like getting the first aliyah. Koyen gets the first aliyah. He has to put on bigdei kahuna. No, he's a koyen. So sometimes kehanim do things and they have milos even though they don't have the bigdei kahuna. But if it's koyen gadol, where do you find a mile of a koyen gadol on bigdei kahuna? So if you anyways need it, so lechuri you shouldn't need it. So the Gemara says you're right. It's posh. Pashit. If it has to be the Kohen Gadol, it's Pashit, he needs the big day kuna. So why would the Torah say something that's Pashit? Because sometimes the Torah does that. Milsa, the Asi, the Kal V'chayim, the Torah of Gossip, the Krah. Sometimes something that you'd even know me Kal V'chayim, something you know me Shvar, something you know from the Yudgim, the Shatayim, the Drashas, them, which is what Kal V'chayim is, still Torah of Gossip, the Krah, the Torah sometimes do that. Does that. Again, the Pasik then continued and said, V'asav ish tahar, es efer haparo, v'iniach michutz la'machane, b'makam tar. So an ish tahar should gather all the Afer, and he should put it in a safe place. There's a few drashas over here in this pasuk. Number one, it says Va'asaf Ish. And we learn from there, Ish Lahakshar es Hazar. Even Hazar, the drash is, doesn't say Kayin. Till now it's at a Lazar, it's a Kayin. All of a sudden, Va'asaf Ish, all you have to be is a Pashtiyid. So even if you're not a Kayin, still you'll be able to do it. It says Tahar. That's also the rabbi something. As long as this person's tar. Doesn't matter, man, woman, tar, that's going to be enough. Vehiniach, it says that what you should do with his vehiniach, mishiyesh boi das lohaniach. Only someone that has the das. He's a bar das, he could be menech. Yatsu cherishayit v'katon, she'im bem das lohaniach. So this pasuk, va'asav, ish, tar, as Efer HaPar vehiniach, teaches us three halachas. Ish, even a zar, tahar, even an isha, Vehiniach, as opposed to a cherishayit v'katan. Tan hasam, we learned in a Mishnah over there. Hakol ksherim lekadesh. Everyone's kosher. Everyone's able to be mekadesh the efer together with the mayim. Now, there's a machlokes as we showing them here. Rashi and Tosfos. When we say lekadesh, when we talk about being mekadesh the efer of the parah aduma, what exactly does it mean? Does it mean mixing the efer together with the water? Maybe it means taking the water and pouring it into the keli. So it's a big discussion in the Rishonim, but whatever exactly it means, we generally know what it means. Everyone's allowed to do it. Chutz, micheres shoyte v'katan. Rabbi Yehuda machshe v'katan. Rabbi Yehuda says a katan's allowed to do it. Upoisel b'isha u'ba'adroigenes. But an isha and a droigenes are not allowed to do it. So we have a machlokes b'yudan the chachamim, who's allowed to be mekadesh? The chachamim say, everyone, with the exception of a cheres shoyte v'katan. Rabbi Yehuda says, I disagree with katan, and I disagree with isha. Meaning, chutz micheresh shayit v'katan, chutz micheresh and shayit yeah, abekatan ish. Usually, there's no difference between a cheresh shayit v'katan. But Yehuda says here, there's a difference. So a cheresh and a shayit no, but a katan yeah. Whereas the chachamim said a kol ksherim, with the exception of cheresh shayit v'katan, which implies an isha and an adroigenes would be able to. He says an isha and adroigenes would not be able to. So the Gemara, my time in the rabbanon. So we have more drashas over here. What's the makar to the rabbanon? So they learn it out because the pasuk says the lokhu Latome me'afar sreifas achatos v'nosan olav mayim chayim el keli. Zok de Gemara, the lokhu seems to be connecting, it seems to be connecting, taking the ashes of the Parah Aduma to gathering the ashes of the Parah Aduma. So we had the gathering of the ashes, v'asavish tares efer ha-paro, and then we have the v'lokhu, take the ashes and put it into the keli. That's the act of being Mekadesh, right? Two different things. One is gathering the ashes after the Parah Aduma was burnt, and the other is taking the ashes and being Mekadesh. So the Rabbanan understand that it's all one and the same. Hanach the pasilach pasifa, pasilach bekiddush. Whoever can't do the asifa can't do the kiddush. Hanach the achshalach pasifa, achshalach bekiddush. And whoever can do the asifa can do the kiddush. So an isha was able to do the asifa because it said tahar was the rabbi's isha, so she could do the kiddush also. A cherishayt v'katim were all not able to do the asifa because it says v'hiniach mishi yesh leidas lahiniach. So too they wouldn't be able to do the kiddush. Rabbi Yehuda has a different shulchan aruch for who could do the asifa and for who could do the kiddush. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll tell you why I have a different shulchan aruch. Because in kein lema krov v'lokach, my v'lokchu is extra. It should have just said v'lokach. V'lokchu alashin rabin. Sounds like we're coming to be marv something. Afilu katan, even a katan the pasilach asam, who is not able to do the asifa, hacha kosher, over here he's going to be kosher. Isha minale. How do you know isha? Meaning Rabbi Yehuda said two things. Rabbi Yehuda said that even though a katan can't do the asifa, katan can do the kiddush. So that he gave us a makar. It says v'lokchu. That's an extra lashin, a lashin of boy to tell me a cotton could do it. But he also was Mamai. He was Mamai Isha. Isha was able to do the Asifa. Tahar was the rabbi says to Isha. Here is Mamai. He said because it says Vinosan Veloy Vinosna. Vinosan is like a Lashon Zohar, not Vinosna. So that's the rabbis that in the cave is going to be excluded. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that even though in Svar it's logical to say that whoever did the Asifa should be able to do the Kiddush, but I have the Yukim in the Pasuk where it's Mashma not that way. Because it says V'lokhu Lashon Rab, and then it says V'nosan Lashon Yochid. V'lokhu sounds like it's being Marbid something, V'nosan sounds like it's being Mamayid something, and that's Rabbi Yudashito. V'lokhu's Marbid Katan, who couldn't do the Asifa, can't do the Kiddush, and V'nosan's Mamayid Isha, who was able to do the Asifa, but is not able to do the Kiddush. Rabbanan, what did Rabbanan do with Rabbi Yudas the Yukim? So they say it like this, Ikaz Rechman of V'lokhu V'nosan, because Hanit said, in which case there'd be no diuk. I would have thought, so one person does the asifa, and that same person does the kiddush. Therefore, it says v'lakhu, that doesn't have to be the same person. Because Rahman of v'lakhu v'nasnu, had it said both v'lakhu v'nasnu, I would have thought, I would think you need two people maybe to do both. So you could have two people do one person do the other. It doesn't have to be the same person. It could even be two and one, not one and one and two and two. Either way, Rabbi Yehuda had some grace diyuk over here from v'lakhu v'nasan. Rabbanan didn't have that diyuk. So the Rabbanan felt that at the end of the day, whoever could do the asifa can do the kiddush. As it relates to that, Asifa, we have drashes, v'asaf ish tahar, and ish l'achshiras hazar, tar l'achshiras ha'isha, v'niach yotzach harashayit v'kot. The same is going to be true for being mekadesh. That's the chachamim shita in the Mishnah of hakol k'sheim l'kadesh, chutz b'charashayit v'kot. Hakol k'sheim, even a zar, hakol k'sheim, even an isha, with the exception of a charashayit v'kot. Rabbi Yehuda says two shulchan aruchs. Who can do the asifa and who can do the kiddush are different. Where is it different? Two very pronounced differences. Number one, with regards to a katan cannot do the asifa because it says ve'iniach, but v'lokhu is marba that he can do the kiddush. An isha who can do the asifa, tahar is marba isha, but v'nosan, not v'nosna, is memait that an isha can't do the kiddush. The pasuk then says v'lokach ezoiv, v'tovel b'mayim ish tahar. So the pasuk says an ish tahar should come. He should take the ezoiv, dip it into the water. This is when we're about to sprinkle the ashes of the Parah Aduma on the person that's tummy. Zakhti Gemara, Ishtar. We darshan Ishtar in one of the previous psukim. So we're going to darshan Ishtar again. Lirabbanon, according to the Rabbanon, Ish is Veloy Isha, Tar is Lahakshar as Hakatam. Meaning, if the Velokach Eze Vitavo Mamayim is the same person that was able to do the Kiddush, who's the same person that was able to do the Asifa, then why do they have to say Ishtar again? We don't need any drushes. If it's the same, then just stay consistent. So why do we even need drushes? So the drusha must be coming to be mitzi, what we had previously said. So previously we said that as it relates to that sifa, as it relates to the kiddush, a woman could do it. Oh, here, if the Torah said ish, must be ish v'lo ish. Previously we said a katan cannot do it because it says v'hiniach, mishiesh by das moniach. Also here, if it says tahar, it must be l'achras a katan. Here a katan can do it. Ula Rab Yehuda. What about according to Rab Yehuda? It's going to be the opposite. Because Rab Yehuda held that as it relates to kiddush, a katan can do it, and an isha cannot do it. So again, if we have a drasha of ish, and we have a drasha of tar, so it's coming la'afuke from what we previously had. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's ish v'loy katan. Previously, katan was okay. Here, it's v'loy katan. Tar is l'achshir esa isha. Meis ve'frek de gemara akasha. Is that true? Hakok sherin l'hazayis. Everyone's kasha l'hazayis. Now, this last pasuk was talking about v'lokach ezay v'tovah b'mayim v'hiza, right? Asifa kiddush hazah. Three different steps in this process. But this last pasuk we were talking about was the actual hazah. So the Gemara asks the kasha. It says, Hakok Shem Lahaz. Everyone's allowed to do the hazah. Chutz mi tumtum v'adroigenis v'isha. As opposed to a tumtum, an adroigenis, an isha, v'katan sheyesh boidas, or v'katan sheyem boidas, isha misayasa yomaz. Katan that has das, or maybe doesn't have das, depending on the girsa, a woman's allowed to help. But what we need is like this. It says clearly, Hakok Shem Lahaz, with the exception of an isha. That was the Chachamim Shita. The Lokach Eze V'Tavah B'Mayim Ishtar, the Rabbanan Ish V'Lo Isha. Right, for the Asifa and for the Kiddush, an Isha was okay. Here we have a Drasha that says, this is different, means Isha is not okay. Very nice. The Kasha is, V'Lo Yipolig Rabbi Yehuda. Why did Rabbi Yehuda argue? The Chura, we just said that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan both agree that the Dinim of Hazah will be the opposite, it'll be the inverse of the Dinim of the Kiddush. So if that's the case, just like Rabbi Yehuda holds that the kiddush is okay by an isha, over here it shouldn't be okay. Oh, he holds there it's not okay by isha, it should be okay by isha. So then Rabbi Yehuda should argue. That's what good according to the Rabbanon. That hold over here, that isha is excluded. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, Torah lahachshas isha. So how come he didn't argue? I'm Rabbaya. So Abaya takes his Gemara full circle. And he says, Kivan do amar mar mashma moitzi. Miad mashma u mashma memela, Pollock. He didn't have to. Because at this point, we should get the gist of what's going on. Every busing is bouncing back and forth. This has to be with the skan, this could be a kayin hedi, this could be with a zar, this could be with an isha, this could be with a cherishite of a katan, this could be with an adroigenis, right? Everything literally changes from one busing to the other. So once we mention the Rabbanon Shita, it's a gishmaka punchline. Once we mention the Rabbanon Shita with regards to the Hazah, and what's the Rabbanon Shita? That Asifa and Kiddush Luchud, and Hazah is Luchud. So you know the same methodology applies to Rabbi Yehuda. So just figure out what Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is regarding Kiddush. We know what it is, and you know the opposite is going to be true with regards to the Hazah. So you want to know why like Paul Rabbi Yehuda said it kind of. He didn't have to argue, because in the spirit of Mashma Moitzi Miyad Mashma, and Mashma Memela, essentially, really, he argued. But the Gemara is not finished. Almost. V'hiza hatar al hatami. The pasuk says that a tar should come, and he should do the hazah on the tame. Tar, mechlal shehu tame. Hatar. It sounds like this is a person that was tame, and now he became tar. Yeah. Limit al tful yom shekasha depar. This teaches us the halacha that we know, that a tful yom, somebody that was tame, that went to the mikvah, even though the sun didn't set, which means he's not properly tar yet, we'll see more about this in the raid bite. Still, the halacha is he's allowed to do the hazah of the part, which was not like the tzedoikim. This was one of the ideas. Amar Rav Asi. So Rav Asi said, when Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish would learn the sugis of para, when they would pashat be mavasedra, the sugis of para, le maskamina ela kemay de masik talame beikarba. They found it so hard to extract some consistency in these psukim, you think? I mean, after learning this Gemara, it was literally like a fox. And what he's able to pick up with his legs when he goes through a plowed field. I never saw a fox go through a plowed field, but I guess the point is it was very hard for him to grasp and to come up with something super consistent. So let's just exhale for 1 second, because this really concludes the intense portion of the daf. And that is, essentially what we have over here is that when you go through the psukim in Parshas Chukas, with the, in addition to Chukas talking about the Par Aduma, which is Tyrus, which every little child knows is the Chukas HaTyra, which means it's way above everybody's pay grade. Even Shlomo HaMelech said it was above his pay grade. So this is not something that's very easy to understand. Masechtas Par is a Mishnah, and Tosefta is that most people will never learn. But even just going through the Psukim, it's very confusing, because the Torah seems to say certain things had to be done by Elazar. Elazar Shteller was, he was the Skan Kohen Gadol. Certain things had to be done by the
a kohen head yet. There's certain things that didn't require a kohen at all. There's certain things that could have been done by a kohen. Certain things could not have been done by a kohen. Certain things an isha was able to do. So every pasuk, literally, you have to go through pasuk by pasuk. But the truth is, Gemara said, it's not every pasuk, because there are some psukim that are really mashma memela. So, which adds a little complication. So you have to know which pasuk is a continuation to the previous pasuk, so that whatever halacha applied to the previous pasuk will apply to this pasuk as well. And then you have to know which pasuk is ready, a whole new deal, so that you have to figure out what that respective halacha is going to be. But how did we get involved in the sugya in the first place? Because we had a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Shchitas para. Kshera bizar or psula bizar? Rav shita was psula bizar and Shmuel shita was kshera bizar. Zok the Gemara, postscript to that machlokes. Tani Tanakh made Rabbi Yochanan. Tanakh came in the prayer to Rabbi Yochanan. And he told him the following. He said, kol ha-shchitas kshera bizar. All shchitas kshera bizar. Chutz Mishal Para, with the exception of the Para Aduma. The Shchit of the Para Aduma is Psula Bazar. Who Shchit is that? Rav. Amali Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan told him, Poik Tani Labara. You want to say this Braisa? Fine, but not in my business. Go outside and you can say it over there. You can't say it over there. Why? Rabbi Yochanan said, Because Leimotzinu Shchita Bazar Psula. Because we do not find anywhere that Shchita should be Psula Bazar. Zokta Gemara, for Rabbi Yochanan, who went against this Tana, Leimi Boy Latana Leitzayas, now he didn't want to listen to this Tana, Elafil Rabbi Leitzayas. He didn't even want to listen to his own Rabbi. Because Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rab Shimon Ben Yehoitzad. So Rab Shimon Ben Yehoitzad was Rabbi Yochanan's Rabbi. It's interesting, we've spoken about this over the years. Yechon throughout Shas says over Torah in the name of Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. Amar Rab Yechon Mishum Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. Many places in Shas where Rab Yechon said over Torah in the name of Rab Shimon Bar Yochai. But Rab Yechon used to also say over Torah in the name of his Rebbe Rab Shimon Ben Yehoi Tzadok. Hatzad Hashava Shevehen is they're both Rashbi. Rab Shimon Bar Yochai is Rashbi. Rab Shimon Ben Yehoi Tzadok is Rashbi. And the Achronim in different places say that there were mistakes in the Shasin where the Magim confused Rashbi as Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and Rashbi as in Reb Shimon Ben Yehoi Tzadok. You can see where that mistake can happen, and it's used in the depths of raid to explain things and to answer kashas. But either way, the Gemara says that this Rabbi Yochanan, who didn't like what the Tana said, when he said that Shchitas Parah Adumas Psula Bazar, not only was he going against that Tana, but he was even going against his own Rebbe. Which Rebbe? Reb Shimon Ben Yehoi Tzadok. Not Reb Shimon Ben Yehoi Tzadok. Shchitas Parah, because Reb Shimon Ben Yehoi Tzadok said, is Psula Bazar. But Rabbi Yochanan commented, he said, Va'ani Yomer, Abi Ichzog Nishtazoi. Kshera, that it's really Kashav Bazar. Because Leimotzinu Shchita should Psula Bazar. You don't find anywhere that Shchita should be Psula Bazar. Just one last Gemara. Baloi Eitzel Parah Shnia. So we return, albeit very momentarily, to the Avodah on Yom Kippur. So the Kohen Gadol did Vidoy on his part that he was going to bring. He was Mizvada. And then afterwards, he did said Vidoy again. Tzim Tzveitimo. Now the first time he said Vidoy, he was Mizvada for himself and his family. The second time he included the Bnei Aharon and all the Koyanim. So Freik, the Gemara, Maishu Levidu Rishon Gol Yomar, U'Bnei Aharon Am K'toy Shecho, U'Maishu Levidu Sheinid Omer U'Bnei Aharon Am K'toy Shecho. Why the first time he said Vidoy, did he not mention the Bnei Aharon Am K'toy Shecho, and the second time he did? It sounds like it's two Vidoyim on one part, so it should be the same Nusach of the Vidoy. Why are we changing the Nusach of the Vidoy? Tanad V'Rabbi Shmuel, Kachi Midas Adin Noy Senes, because this is the way Midas Adin works. Mutav Yovei Zakai V'Chapra L'Chayev Al-Yovei Chai V'Chapra L'Chayev. The idea is, the first Vidoy is for him to get personal kapara. Vidoy is a mechaper. If a person is mizvada, he does it legitimately. We're going to have to get to this at some point in Masechtas Yuma. That in and of itself has a very powerful ability to be mechaper. So when the Kohen Gadol was mizvada the first time, he became a zakai. Yovei zakai v'chaper alachai. He can't be mechaper alachai with the first vidoy because he's not perfect himself. So first he did a vidoy. He attained personal rankite. Now that he has personal taira, now he's in a position to be able to move forward, and he's able to be metair on behalf of the kohanim who are am kedoy shecho. Exhale. So again, today's daf really went into some of the technicalities of the psukim in the beginning of Parshas Chukas. But one thing is clear, as that there were different elements to the preparation of the Parah Aduma. So the first thing that was done with the Parah Aduma was Shchita. Then there was a Kabbalah and there was a Zrik. This is not a carbon. Chatas Kari Rachman. But it's not a carbon. But it had Shchita, it had Kabbalah, it had Zrika. It had avoidas that mirrored what would ordinarily be done by a Kohen. Then the Parah was taken and it was burnt. It was completely burnt. While it was being burnt, Eitz Erez, Ezev, and Shnei Taylas were thrown El Toich Sreifas HaParah, into the depths of the Parah. Now that there were ashes, somebody would come, he would gather those ashes, he would put them in a safe place, and they were taken out on a need-be basis. What would necessitate needing the ashes of the Parah Aduma? If somebody or something was Tamei Tumas Meis, the only way for it to be come tar is who yischata b'yom hashlishi u'b'yom hashvi. That process involved taking the ashes, putting it into a keli, mixing it together with mayim chayim. Somebody would take an agudas ezayv, dip it into the water, and sprinkle it on this person that was tamei, and it was that way that this person attained his tahira. So there were many, many shlavim, many, many steps to the preparation of the efer of the paradum. So let's revisit for a moment Masechtas Yuma, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. So the Masechta began, Shivas Yomim Koidim Yom HaKippurim, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mi Beisoy LeLishkas Pared. 7 days before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol was taken, he was quarantined in the Azor, in Lishkas Paredrin, for 7 days. A whole Arichos and the Gemara, what the Makar is, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Psukim Svaris, but the halach is, Shivas Yomim Koidim Yom HaKippurim, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mi Beisoy LeLishkas Pared. The Masechta, the Gemara, began with a parallel Mishnah. Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah, Perakim or Mishnah Aleph in Masechta's Parah, Shivas Yomim Koidim Sreifas HaParah, Hoyim Afrishin Koyin Asreifas HaParah Mi Beisoy, Lelishka Shal Pnei Habira Tzafayna Mizracha. Says the Mishnah that exactly what was done to the Kohen Gadol 7 days before Yom Kippur was done to the Koyin Asreifas HaParah 7 days before he would be served as a par. So when there was a date circled on the calendar, that on this day we're going to bring the par aduma, 7 days prior, they took the koyin asoyref as a par, and they had him go and be by himself in preparation for doing what he had to do. The Mishnah says, Shivas yomim koyim sreif as a par, hoyim afrishin koyin asoyref as a par. So most days you can learn this Mishnah without pause. But not today. We just learned that there were so many different elements to the preparation of the Parah Aduma. There was Shechita, there was Kabbalah, there was Zrika, there was taking the Eitz Erez, the Ezev and the Shnei Taylas and throwing it on Teich Shreifas HaParah. Then there was the act of being Ma'asif it, being Mekadesh it, being Mazit. The Mishnah seems to say that Hoyim Afrishin Koyin HaShreifas HaParah. It's only the Koyin HaShreifas HaParah. So the Michas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Tzadik Zayin, which is Mitzvah Parah Aduma, says, he makes this diuk, and he says, "Venira, afal kipid shenokat mafrishin koyin asoyrev asapara lav dafka the hu adin amekabel v'hamaze kol koyin sheoyved bepara tzarech prisha. Anyone that was involved needed prisha." And he says it's mashma that way because the Gemara in the bottom of that base of manal brings him a car. How do you know that the koyin asoyrev asapara needed hafrasha? Because it says kasha osa b'yemazeh by the shivas imei amiluim tiva Hashem lasois lechaper aleicha. And the Gemara said lasois elu maisa para. So says the Minchas Chinuch in Kain, kol asiyas hapara tzricha prisha. All the asiyas of the para require prisha. So the Mishnah picked this avoida, but it's lav dafka koyin asarif as hapara. The makar is lasois, and you see there was so much that was involved in the lasois of the para, and there's no svara says the Minchas Chinuch to be mechalik. So it's pasha, even though the Mishnah says koyin asarif as hapara, really it means any koyin that was involved in preparing the avoda. Stating that, even though the Michas Chinuch says it so self-confidently, in Mitzvah Shin Tzadik Zayin, it was Nelam, Me'enei Hagdoilim Shal HaMichas Chinuch, HaMefurish HaTaisis Yishanim, in Masechtas Yuma Daf Beis Amud Aleph. So Taisis Yishanim is literally like an Achron. Mamish handles the same things the Michas Chinuch handles, Gezeder. But the Taisis Yishanim is right here in Daf Beis, and the Taisis Yishanim says, quote, Dibur HaMasko Mafrishin Koyin HaSoyer V'Sapora, Avul Shar Koyhanim, Shehoyu Asukim Basifas Afro, Ubishar Asokeho, Kidamashmo Likamon, Shaskan Hoyu Mesaye Loporo, Loi Hoyu Mafrishin Oysa. They did not require any Prisha. That feel the man the mapic Prisha the Pora Mikra, but Mikmin on the Kra be Iker Maise HaPora and Hainus Ref. Says the Tosfos Yeshanim that the Mishnah said, "Mafrishin koyin asoyref es hapara." It's dafka the koyin asoyref es hapara. Why? Because even though it's true, we went through the psukim, we just learned the whole Gemara, and he shtel su the sugya lekamam and gimel amanala. Tosfos Yeshanim on that base quotes our da. But there were so many things that were done, but the ikur maisa hapara, that was this reif. That was the ikur. So from everything, there was shechita, there was kabbalah, there was rika. The ikur was the sreifa. So a few things. Number one, why was the ikur the sreifa? Because the ikur was to have the ashes. The sreifa is what gives us the ashes. The shechita, the kabbalah, the zrika is the hechsher. You need ashes from a parah that had these avodas done. But at the end of the day, why are we doing this? Because we need ashes so that we can mix it with water and we can sprinkle it on somebody. That's Tomei Tomas Meis. So the parah adum, it's a paradigm shift. Yeah, it's all about the ashes. So if it's all about the ashes, it's pasha. The sreifa is the avodah that creates the ashes. So avada, the sreifa is the ikur. And if the sreifa is the ikur, so the sreifa is the part that Shivas Yomim, Hoyumafrishin Koyan Asayrif Asapara. It's Dafka the Koyan Asayrif Asapara because that's the Ikr, and if that's the Ikr, that's the only thing that would have to be done. And again, this is in contrast, in stark contrast to a carbon. A carbon, the Ikr is always the Dam. The carbon, the Ikr is the Zrika with the Dam. So it doesn't matter what carbon it is. The Ikr is maybe the carbon Pesach is the exception, but the Ikr is the Zrika of the Dam. Over here, the Ikr was the Sreifa. Why? Because it's a completely different track. When you're bringing a carbon, you're taking the dam, the nefesh of the animal, you're putting it on the mizbeach, you're giving it as a matana to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that somehow begets the kapara. Over here, what we're doing is, we're doing this esoteric maisa, the zois chukas atayra, as a hechatim suppressor that have ashes. Once we have the ashes, we can take the ashes, we can sprinkle it on the person that's stomach. But being that over here, the ikar is getting the ashes, so the ikar is the sreifa, so says the toises, Yeshonim, very clearly, not like the Minchas Chinuch says with a pashtos in mitzvah shin tzadik zayin, that it was only the koyin asarif as a part, as opposed to the other kehanim. The Pnei Yeshua in Yumadav Beis, right in the beginning of the Masechta, has three paragraphs, he has three shtiklach on this idea. He makes the diyuk that the Minchas Chinuch makes, the diyuk that the Tosfos Yeshonim makes, the Koyin HaSarif HaSapara, he opines on it, then he says, Shuv Matzasi, it's Mefurish in the Tosfos Yeshonim, Ayin Sham, he talks about it a little bit, but he adds one other knitch. We know that the Koyin HaSarif HaSapara, Hayu Metamin Oysa, they would make him Tamin. Meaning, we saw the Gemara that said that there's a halacha that a tahar had to do the hazah. So someone's tummy to masmeis, he needs to be sprinkled on from the parah aduma. V'hiza hatar ala tummy. The person that does the hazah has to be tar. That person's not tar, it's not going to be okay. But the Gemara made a diyek, and we learn from the diyek that as long as the person is tar, even if he's a tful yoim, it's still going to be okay. So just the chazah. What's the definition? What's the definition of a tful yoim? If someone's Tomei, it doesn't matter what the Tomei is, at some point you're going to have to go to the mikvah. Every person that's Tomei has to go to the mikvah. Not all Tomei was created equally. They say that the higher of different Tomeiim is different. It's literally, he has to go to the mikvah. Not just there. After he goes to the mikvah, he has to wait for the sun to set. Brachas dabeis, mishosha klihanim nechnasan lecha betrumasan, that's the zman kriyashma shal arvis, because they couldn't eat truma, assuming they were tummy and went to the mikvah until it was night, because only at night it was okay. But the point is that the person that's tummy would have to go to the mikvah, assuming he did everything else, wait until the sun sets, then it became tar. Once he goes to the mikvah, he's already a shtikl tahar. Qualitatively, he's less tummy than he was. He has tahir. In fact, his level of tumah gets downgraded significantly. He falls into a whole nother category called tfoyim. It's a whole mesechta called mesechtas tfoyim. He becomes a tfoyim. Tfoyim is like a sheni l'tumah. It's a very, very diluted form of tumah. But he now becomes a tfoyim, and he's tumah, but at the same time, not as tumah. When the pasuk says, v'hiza hatar ala tumah, it's l'rabbis that if someone's a tfoyim, if somebody that was tumah, and he went to the mikveh, and he's waiting for the sun to set, he's allowed to do the hazah on the parador. Not just that, Chazal say, it's a Mishnah. Metamin hoyu ha-koyin ha-soyref ha-sapara. They purposely would take the koyin that was going to be soyref the para, they would make him tome, umatbil anoisoy, and then they would have him go to the mikvah, lahoytzi miliben shal tzadokin. And this was done, lahoytzi miliben shal tzadokin, one of the themes of Masechta Yuma. Shahoyu oimrim, because the tzadokin were of the opinion, b'murvei ha-shemesh ha-yusanasis, that a tful yoim was not allowed to be involved in the para aduma. So the kinu la-rabbanim, so Rabbanim went ahead, lahoytzi miliben shal tzadokin, and they said, you should dafka go ahead and make, to prove to the tzadokin, that a tful yoim is allowed to do it. Says the Pnei Yeshua, here too, you have the same dik. What about the other kehanim that were involved? Were we metame them too? Or maybe not? Same dik.
Shivas yomim koydim sreifas hapara hoyu mafrishin koyen hasoyrif hasapar. Metamin hoyu ha koyen hasoyrif hasapar. L'chura, at first glance, maishna, there's so many kayhanim, potentially, that were involved. There's so many important parts of the avoida of the para adumah. So why are we picking on the koyen hasoyrif hasapar? But says the Pnei Yeshua, al derech this dik of the Tosfos Yeshanim, yesh loimar, being that the ikar avoid of the para adumah is the sreif of the para adumah. So just like it was only the koyen hasoyrif hasapar that went into this 7-day quarantine, it was only the koyin asarif as hapara where the Mishnah says metamin hoyo. So when the Mishnah says metamin hoyo koyin asarif as hapara, it's not lav dafka koyin asarif as hapara. It's dafka the koyin asarif as hapara, because that's the ikar, and that's where we're gonna make our statement. Ayin shamba pnei Yeshua. He says a lot more than what we just mentioned, but regardless, that's the point, and that's a clear takeaway that there were many different aspects for the para aduma, but at the same time, the ikar. The Iker was the Sreifa. L'may nafgemino, he's the one that they were mafrishin zayin yomim. It could be he's the one that they were matama v'hoitzi miliben shal tzadaykin. But just to move, me inyan le'inyan ba'oyse inyan. So one of the big themes of Parah Aduma was what we just said. Metamin hoyu akoyin ha'soyref es ha'para u'matbilin oysoy v'hoitzi miliben shal tzadaykin. So Pasha, what it means is you had someone that was tar, he's the one that's good. So we take this person, we take a sheret, and we push it, throw it at him. We make this person dumb. Why? So like this, when he does the hazah, he'll be a tful yoyim. We want him to be a tful yoyim? Nah, it doesn't really make sense. Abalahaitzim beliben shal tzadakim. So I found the mitzia. This is in the Shilas Hachuvas Ben Pyrus, which was written by Rabbi Yosef Engel, and it's Chelik Beis Simen Beis. So it's in the middle of a long shtickel. So he says, V'derech agav echtoiv mashe omarti beguf hach de metamen hoyu akkurin asoyer fesaparo umatbilen oisle. He says, if you think about it, lefum riata, it really is hard to understand. We're dealing with para haduma. We're dealing with the tahira of all tahira. We want this person to get the tahira. The nigla, the pnimiyas atayra, para aduma, this is the ultimate purity, right? We're all tamei today because we don't have the eifer of the para aduma. So we're going to dafke go and we're going to manipulate that the koyin that's engaged, the koyin asayra v'sapara that's doing the ikar avoid of the para, we want him dafke to be a tful yoyim. I hear lahoytzi miliben shal tzadaykim. But this is like we're spiting ourselves. Meaning, I understand lahoytzi miliben shal tzadaykim, there are certain things we'll do. But here we're actually doing something that's bad for us. Lahoytzi miliben shal tzadaykim? Mechateisi. Who said it's worth it? You want to make a big deal about something maybe that there's no reason to make a big deal about. Like we've spoken about so many times. I hear. Lahoytzi miliben shal tzadaykim. So we're going to say this is such a huge deal, even though maybe really it isn't such a huge deal. But here we're making the person tameh. So now he's going to be a tful yoyim. Why would you do that? So Rabbi Yitzchak Engel says a dover nifla adwa ma'oid, based on a Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayos, also in Masechtas Paras. This is all me'inyan le'inyan ba'ayse inyan. But this is Masechtas Paras. Just one excerpt from the Rambam. The Rambam's talking about somebody that was tameh. He was tameh to masmeis, and he had the para aduma sprinkled on him. Now he becomes tahar. Quote, the ein hevdel, and this is in Perek Gimel, it's Mishnah He. In Masechtas Paras, ve'ein hevdel, says the Rambam, bein ha'adam sheloi nitma me'oilam b'meis, lebein zeh shenitma kol yomav, v'toval v'huza olav shlishi v'shvi. Once a person becomes tar from Tumas Meis, says the Rambam, there's no difference between him and the person that never became tamei. They're the same. Meaning, if you got tahira, you get tahira. You would think maybe once you're tamei, so you have a little bit of remnant of, no, there's no tumah. There's no difference between the year. And then the Rambam says, Ela adarabba. Zesha huza olav hu b'maylo yisera b'tahira. In fact, says the Rambam, the person that was tamei and had the efer of the para aduma sprinkled in his direction, he's actually b'maylo yisera b'tahira. Lefi sha'akosuv kvar don olav shuhutar. The reason is because the pasuk paskined on him that he's tahar. Lefichuch loy nechush loy bekevra atoy matri isbar. Says the Rambam, not only is someone that was tameh, that had the eifa paraduma sprinkled on him, as tahar as the person that never came in contact with the mace, adirabba, says the Rambam, he's actually more tahar. Lefisha hakasuv kvar don olav shehu tahar. Because the pasuk paskined on him that he's tahar. And all the achronim explain the Rambam the same way. What the Rambam is saying is that the Torah says that if someone's tamei and he goes through a tahira, v'tahir, he's tahar. That means it's a psak from the Torah that he's tahar. Now, you'll tell me, a person that was never tamei,
doesn't need the psak from the Torah that he's tar, because he never came in contact with the Toma. Maybe. But he still doesn't have the psak of the Torah that he's tar. The Eda Daima, someone that knows he's tar, to someone that the Torah said he's tar. The Torah never said that a person that didn't come in contact with Tome is tar. The Torah said someone that did come in contact with Toma and he became tar is tar. So says the Rambam, when someone's Tome and he becomes tar, not only is he as if he never became Tome, Adarabba, he's better because he has a psak from the Torah. Levisha Kosik Fardon Olav Shuhutar. And it's the psak of the Torah that says that this person goes to the mikveh and he becomes tar. That's why he's tar. So says Rabbi Yosef Engel, half of a fellow. He says the reason that with Metama, the Koyan Asleir of Esapara, had nothing to do with the Tztoykin. The reason they were Metarim is because the Torah says, V'hiza ha-tar ala tameh. We need someone that's a Tahar. We want someone that the Torah paskened on him as a Tahar. The only time you get the psak of the Torah that this person is Tahar is if he was Tameh, he went through the Tahira process, so now we have a psak. There's a psak din that this person is Tahar. Or you went through the Tumah, and now you became Tahar, you're a Tahar. So the reason they were Metarim is because they wanted him to have that Noisefes Madrega of Tahira. And that's only going to be Negeya if he's Tameh, and then we Narvas, the kasha was something else. That this person, who we were metama, why are we going to now have him do the avoid as a tfoyoy? Let's wait until Harav Shemesh, and then tomorrow we'll do the avoida. That was Lahaitzim Yiliban Shal Tzadokin. Lahaitzim Yiliban Shal Tzadokin, we said, let's do it now, when he's in the state of Tfoyoyim, rather than waiting tomorrow. They never took the Sheretz because of the Tzadokin. They would never have done that. This person was going to be exposed to the Sheretz Mamonavshach, out the Rambam, because we need a psak that he's a Tahar. So you know what we do? We put the Sheretz on him. Just Lahaitzim Yiliban Shal Tzadokin, instead of waiting till tomorrow, we'll do it while he's in this diluted state as a little breckle of Tumah, of as far Tahar, because he went to the mikvah, and the Torah says you're tar when you go to the mikvah. So this person's already a tar. He's a tfulyon. That was Lahaitzim Yiliban Shal Tzadokin. But he says to think that we were going to go ahead and be metama the person, Lahaitzim Yiliban Shal Tzadokin, that's not something we would ever do. Right afterwards, he throws in one line. He says something else. That's Mamash Adav and Niflo. The Pasuk says in Parsha Shmini, Mipsorim loisai chelu, ubinivlasam loisi go, tmeyim heim lochem. Now let's touch an avela. Ubinavlasam loisigo. So there's an issue in the Torah? You're not allowed to touch an avela? So the answer is no. Rashi brings in Chumash, Torah's Kayanim, Chayev Adam, Litar Atzmei Berets, referring to Yontif. On Yontif, a Yid has to be Tar. Ubinavlasam loisigo teaches us that on Yontif, you're not allowed to come in contact with an avela. Because on Yontif, Chayev Adam, Litar Atzmei Berets. But the Ramban, on this pasuk, it's in Parsha Shmini, Perik Yud Aleph, Pasuk Ches. He quotes a Torah's Kayanim. The Torah's Kayanim says, Yachal, you would think, Imra Adam es hanavela. If somebody sees an avela, yelech v'yatame. You should run to an avela and you should push a jump on this carcass. You should mamish make yourself tame. Talmud Loimer, the pasuk says, ubenevlasam loisigo. Okay, tzad heva oimirishos. You don't have to. You don't have to. Freak to be Yosef Engel. What's this hava mean? It's a teretz kayim. There was a hava mina. Yochel, you would think, Imra Adam es hanavela, yelech v'yatame. Ichtav a pasuk, ubenevlasam loisigo. You don't have to touch the avela. That's what the pasuk means. You don't have to touch the avela. Loisigo, darfsnish. You know, you want to? There's no mitzvah. What was the habit meaning that would have been a mitzvah? So, because we're talking about in Yontif, like Chazal said. And on Yontif, Chayiv Adam Latar Atzmei Beregel. So I would have thought, you know what it means, Chayiv Adam Latar Atzmei Beregel? You have to expose yourself to Tumah, to know your Vaday Tomeh, then go to the mikvah, so now you'll know your Vaday Tahar. So you'll have not just Taira, but the Taira from the Rambam, that the Kasef is made on you that you're Taira. Kamash Melon, who've been of lost some ways to go, that's not something you have to do. But Hamiyad, you see from here, there's a Milo for someone that's Tameh, that now becomes Tahar, because not only is his if he never became Tameh, but his level of Tahira is actually a higher level of Tahira. And then said Rabbi Yosef Engel one last punchline, and he says that if you want a Mashal, a Ma'ad of a Daima, as it relates to this idea, where do you find such a concept that you're actually better off being Tameh and being Tahar than having never become Tameh at all? So he says it's a Gemara, in Masechtas Brachos, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, it's Rabbi Avoh's Memra, B'makom Shebali Tshuva Oimdim Ein Tzadikim Gemurim Yecholim Lamoy. He says, we have such a principle in Yiddishkeit, and that is that a person that doesn't Aveira, if he does Tshuva, he could actually attain a Madrega of Kedusha, he could attain a Madrega of Eskarvis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that somebody that never did an Aveira cannot attain. And he says, that's really, that's the Nimshol of all
all this red. The nimshal is that ma mikvah metayres Yisrael, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metayres atmeyim. Mikvah's metayres Yisrael, there's a tahira that a yid gets when he goes to the mikvah. But believe it or not, the level of tahira that he gets, the Rambam, b'lushoyne azov, adarabu, you get more tahira if you were tummy and go to the mikvah than if you were tahir and you went to the mikvah. And ma mikvah metayres Yisrael, in the same exact vein, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metayres atmeyim, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, it works on that level as well. It works on the level of Tyrus Aguf, and it works on the level of Tyrus HaNefesh, that a person that has an neshama, and he was melach lechiz neshama betet ubetzaya, and he did a averus with his neshama, but if he is toivel b'mei adas, he's toivel in the mikvah of the Torah, and he's toivel in the mikvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like the mikvah's metayres Yisrael, and not only will he attain Torah, but he's going to attain a level of Torah that he couldn't have attained had he not became Tomei, because now the kasev is made on him that he's tar. The same exact mitzias exists for Tumas HaNefesh, and that is the soid of B'makam Shabal Yitzhuvim Oimdim Ein Tzadikim Yechoylam Lamoid, because now he has a kasev made all of that he's tar, and that's a level of tahira that even a tzadik gomer can't attain.